The Moonbase by Kit Pedler. Episode 2. Left alone in the medical unit, Jamie stirred. Feverishly, he struggles to sit up, his eyes widening in horror as the huge figure of a Cyberman looms over him.
It's you! The Phantom Piper! No! No! I'll not go with you! Do you hear me, Piper? No, leave me! Leave me, I'll not go with you! Do you hear me?
The Cyberman stops in its tracks, leaving Jamie unharmed, and turns to look around the room. Then it moves to another bed, throwing aside the covers and lifting out the unconscious man lying there as if he were a rag doll. As the Cyberman carries the man through the door at the far end of the room, Polly returns with the water.
Polly, what's happened?
It's all right. Don't be frightened. Whatever it was, it's all gone now.
Yes, but Doctor, the Cyberman was carrying one of the patients.
Cyberman? What are you talking about?
I'll not go with you.
All right, mate, you're safe now. Take it easy.
She's right. There's another one gone. Sam, Jules, you've got to find these men. They can't just disappear in a place this size. Search every square inch and come back until we find them. Now, come on. Now, supposing you tell me your story. What did you see?
Well, I went out to get Jamie some water. And when I came back, I saw this giant man or creature or something just going out of the door carrying one of the patients. Like a doll. I think it was a Cyberman.
Forget the Cyberman part. Then what?
Well, then nothing. The door shut and then you came in.
What do you know about all this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
We'll see about that in a minute. This thing you saw, what was it like?
It was enormous and silver, and it had holes in its head for eyes, like a robot.
A robot?
But the Cybermen were all killed when Mondas blew up, weren't they?
Stop this Cyberman nonsense. There were Cybermen. Every child knows that, but they were all destroyed ages ago.
So we all thought.
That's enough. Now, let's have a little calm thinking. For the past 2 weeks, a completely unknown disease has appeared in the base. People drop in their tracks, they develop this black pattern on their skin. Then some of the patients disappear, right? Well, they can't leave the base without wearing spacesuits. There are no spacesuits missing, so where are they?
I must say, it does sound a little odd.
More than a little. Well, I do know one thing. A new disease starts, people disappear, and then you turn up.
And you think we did it?
Oh, come off it. We haven't done a thing.
That's as maybe. I don't know who you are, what you are, or where you came from. But you can get off the moon now.
Yeah, well, that suits me fine. The sooner the better.
No, Ben, we can't go yet.
Well, why not? They don't want us here.
Because there is something evil here, and we must stay.
Evil? Don't be daft.
Evil is what I meant. There are some corners of the universe which have read the most terrible things. Things which act against everything that we believe in. They must be fought. This disease, for instance, isn't really a disease at all. But I can help you with it. You'll see. I'll find the cause for you.
Will you indeed?
Yes, certainly. Just need to examine a few things, that's all. Should be simple.
Well, I'm not sure. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you just one Earth day cycle to find the cause.
Earth what?
24 hours.
But that's no time at all.
It's all the time you're going to get. Then you get off the moon complete with this bloke here.
But you can't move him. He's very ill.
We accept. Now tell me, you have pathological equipment here, yes?
Yes, Evans was working on an extensive research project. It's all in here.
Yes, I've had a look in here.
It's quite a small unit. We're not equipped to deal with a full-scale epidemic, you understand. You think you can manage?
Yes, I think I can.
Right, I'll leave you to it. But don't forget, 24 hours.
we going to do, Doctor? We're going to start with this one.
Yes, I'm really a medical doctor.
Yes, I think I was once. Polly, I think I took a degree once in Glasgow. 1888, I think. Lister. Hold that, Polly, will you?
The doctor swabs a sample from the black lines on the man's hand, which clutches convulsively.
All right. He's quite unconscious.
The doctor returns to the microscope in Evans's work area.
Well, what can we do to help? I shall need to examine everything. Clothes, boots, food, towels, soap, everything. Will you get them for me, please?
Have you any idea what it might be?
Nope. Not an idea. But we'll find it out.
A crisis is developing in weather control. Hobson and Benoit are manning the main desk, anxiously watching the world map and trying to make sense of the readings.
I don't understand. Sure, there's a lack of coordination somewhere.
Yes, but where?
On the indicators, look. It should be steady as a rock.
The fault must be in the graviton.
Neil's here.
Yes, Tubby.
We're going to run a test. Move the probe and we'll see if the indicators move the right distance on the map, okay?
Right.
Benoit, keep an eye on the probe itself, will you?
Okay. All yours, Bob.
Right.
Benoit moves across to where he can observe the movement of the graviton probe in its transparent housing.
Deflect probe. 5 degrees. Now. Way off. 5 degrees should put him over Iceland. Move the probe back again.
Right.
The probe seems to deflect a lot.
The fault must be here. This could be a major disaster if we can't stabilize the Earth's field.
If we lose that hurricane, Mr. Hobson, all hell will break loose on the Earth. I have a wife and family.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Roger, check the potentiometers.
Right.
Niels, check the gravitation units. Check it up, we ain't got much time.
Stabilizing at 48, Mr. Hudson.
Prepare to move probe. Check coordinates. We've got to hold that hurricane in the Pacific. Stand by. Now!
Degree tilt complete.
Field's not correcting. We'll have to increase the reactor power.
You can't do that. The Taurus will burn out.
That's all we can do.
International Space Control, Earth calling. Moon weather control, stand by. Stand by for the controller.
This is Moon Base. Come in, please.
We wish to speak to Mr. Hobson.
Hobson speaking.
Stand by for the controller.
Right. He's actually going to speak to us this time.
Controller Rindberg speaking. Is that you, Hobson?
Yes, Rindberg.
The directional fields are showing a progressive error. Reports have come in of widespread pressure fluctuations in Atlantic Zone 6. You must get the gravitron back into balance.
We're trying to compensate by realigning the probe. We have an error in the servos.
Well, there's no sign of any improvement here. We've just had a report from Miami, Florida. 30 minutes ago, they were enjoying clear skies and a heat wave. Now, Hurricane Lucy is right overhead.
There is only one thing to do.
What's that?
Shut it down.
What, switch the graviton off?
Yes, it's the only chance.
We can't do that, man. The collapse of the gravity would devastate half the globe. There'll be storms, whirlwinds, hurricanes...
I overheard your conversation. It's quite out of the question. You're not to shut down the graviton under any circumstances. And that's an order. I think perhaps you don't appreciate how serious the situation already is.
I bet he gets a knighthood.
We spent years in the General Assembly negotiating methods of agreement between farmers, landowners, and so on. And now the weather's out of control, they're off our bluff. And I must say, I can't blame you. You've got to get that thing under control. Quick. Now, please get on with it.
Earth control, over and out.
Well, you're all in the picture. We've got trouble, bad trouble. We haven't got much time. We're going to run through every circuit, every field pattern, every damn nut and bolt on Charlie Boy in there until he's running sweet and smooth. A full Class A test, in fact. Now, you all know what to do, so let's get on with it.
Okay.
Right, we'll start on the main tape program.
Right.
The technicians return to their positions and begin the tests.
It's running now.
Give me the analog value on module 6, will you?
Will do. They look all right. A at 10 millivolts. Uh-huh. B at 15 millivolts. C at 26. That fits, doesn't it?
Yes, they're at normal levels. Roger, finish checking here, will you? The answer may be in the control panel.
Okay. I'll sing out the binary conversion values. You check them on readout, okay?
Right.
Right. Channel 1.
Yo.
As Niels and Benoit continue their checks, the doctor slips into the control room and begins collecting samples, snipping off pieces of clothing and taking swabs. Noticing the doctor cutting a piece from his trousers, Benoit turns on him angrily.
Et là, qu'est-ce que vous fabriquez, imbécile, idiot? Vous n'avez rien d'autre à faire? Vous croyez que nous sommes en train de nous amuser? Oh, come on, get out of the way!
Now, where were we? Oh, yes, the fluid servo primers. I reckon this is probably where the fault is. Do you want them all or just the main tank readings?
The main will do.
Right. Header 1, 45 pounds.
Yes.
Undaunted by Benoit's outburst, the doctor continues to collect samples from around the room. He crouches on the floor and unlaces one of Neil's boots.
They all fit. Nothing there.
It must be the potentiometer nut, then.
Looks like it. Take us some time to do that. We'll need the digital voltmeter.
Right, I get it.
As Niels walks, his boot comes off in the doctor's hand.
The blazes are you doing?
I'm just collecting specimens.
Specimens? Oh, yes. Well, get on with it.
In the sick bay, Ben has been checking the medical supplies.
We're nearly out of this interference stuff.
Well, you better go and ask Mr. Hobson where the rest is.
Yeah, right.
It's all right, Jim. It's all right. You're going to get better, but you must lie still.
Oh, what is this place? Is it the home of the Piper?
No, we're on the moon. You know, the moon up in the sky.
Oh, no, I can't be alive. I've just seen the Piper.
Jamie starts and sits up as a Cyberman appears behind Polly. She turns in horror and backs away from the bed. The Cyberman reaches out towards her. There is a flash of light, and Polly drops limply to the floor. The Cyberman turns back to Jamie.
The paper! I knew!
There's another flash. And Jamie falls back unconscious. The Cyberman moves to the adjacent bed, where another infected man is sleeping. The creature takes the patient from the bed and carries him away. Moments later, the doctor returns to discover Polly lying unconscious on the floor.
Polly! What's happened? Polly! Are you all right?
The remaining technicians in weather control are checking every aspect of the gravitron, desperate to find a cause for the continuing problems.
Out on the probe servers?
The error detectors show a slight discrepancy. In normal limits, though.
What about the overall feedback valve? We haven't checked that.
No, that's an idea.
You know, I don't think it's likely to be a mechanical fault.
Mr. Hobson, an air pressure drop again.
Same as before?
Yes, just the same. Lasts about 5 seconds.
Something odd. It's not the pumps, I'm sure of that. Has anyone asked permission to leave the base?
No, as far as I know, the compression chamber's empty.
If I find anybody's been fooling about in there without permission, I'll tear the hides off them.
In the storeroom, a pile of sacks is shoved to one side as a Cyberman steps through a ragged hole in the wall into the base.
The
pressure's up again now, sir.
Thank heaven for that. I'm going to check over the control loop monitor.
Control loop monitor? Huh. I think you're wasting your time.
Nothing's a waste of time till we trace this fault, and don't you forget it. You saw what's happening on Earth. We can't afford to miss anything. Now get on with it.
I think I found something.
What is it?
One of the probe control antennae.
Well, what's the matter with it?
Well, according to these readings, there are at least two pieces of it missing. It's just not coordinating.
Missing?
Meteorites?
Could be. There could be a simpler explanation. Roger, when did these people arrive here?
The end of period 11 in this present lunar day.
And when did the gravitron start playing up?
About the beginning of period 12.
Sam, when was the last time we had anyone outside?
During period 13. Two men went outside to realign one of the solar mirrors.
That's it.
I'm not quite with you.
Well, it's simple. Strangers arrive, period 11. The gravitron goes up the spout, period 12.
I understand, but it doesn't...
Come on. It's time we put that doctor and his friend in cold storage. Just a sec. Get two men outside to look at the antenna, will you, Sam?
Okay. Right, Joe, nip along to the mess deck. Tell Jules and France I want them here. Pretty sharpish. Right.
As Joe leaves, Ben bursts into the room.
Another patient's gone, sir.
What? Come on.
Following Hobson's orders, Jules and France are on their way to check the probe control antenna. Entering the airlock, they double-check the seals on each other's spacesuits before exiting the base. It takes a moment or two for the atmospheric pressure to equalize. Then the door slides open, and the two men step into the next chamber. Two short ladders lead up to a final exit hatch, opening onto the bright, silent surface of the moon. Back in the sick bay, the doctor is frustrated by his lack of progress.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Isn't there any clue at all?
Nope. It's a complete blank. All the tests are negative. As far as I can see, this whole ridiculous place is completely sterile.
I have to go and tell Mr. Hobson, I suppose.
She's not going to like it very much. I simply don't understand it.
But doctor, it couldn't possibly have anything to do with Lister, could it?
Lister?
Well, I mean, you did say that you took your degree in Glasgow in 1888. It does seem an awful long time from now, 2070 or whatever it is.
Polly, are you suggesting that I'm not confident to carry out these tests?
Oh, no, 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 no. I was just wondering if there was anything that Joseph Lister didn't know in 1888 that might possibly help you now.
Shh, somebody's coming. It's Mr. Hobson. Out for blood. Ours. Look busy. Quick.
That's a bad thing. That's the third person to disappear in the past few hours. It's completely illogical. A sealed base...
Do you mind?
What?
Would you mind standing away from the door and allowing it to close? The slides, the dust.
It must be you people. We've got some straight talking to do, you and I.
Polly?
Yes.
Another boot.
Right.
Do you hear me?
Mm. This is extraordinary.
Excuse me, please.
Yeah.
Now, look
Excuse
here.
Excuse me, please. We are trying to help you.
Help? No. Is that what you call it? You can all get off the moon now.
Now, wait a minute. You said...
I don't care what I said.
Ah!
Have you found something?
I think perhaps I have.
Really?
Yes, I may be onto something, but I must have some room. How can I work under these conditions? Now, out, please. Come along, outside. I'm trying to work in here. Ben, see that they stay outside.
Doctor, did you mean that?
What?
You found something.
Oh, Polly, I only wish I had. Why not make some coffee to keep them all happy while I think of something?
All right.
Out on the lunar surface, Jules and France reach the antenna and set to work. Intent on repairing the equipment, they do not sense two Cybermen approaching from behind until it is far too late. With massive chopping blows, the Cybermen strike the men down.
completed your examination?
Yes, just about.
Turned the base upside down, poked into everything?
Yes, clothes, boots, food.
And you found?
Absolutely nothing.
Just as I thought.
Oh, thank you.
So what I told you still stands.
Ah, coffee. Splendid. Thank you, Polly. I think we could all do with a cup.
Benoit, you better go outside and see how Jules and France are getting on.
Right.
At the foot of the exterior antenna, two space suits lie empty.
Coffee?
Well, Doctor.
Sugar?
Oh, thank you.
It's very hot. Doctor, what about you?
Thank you, Polly.
Well, Doctor, as I was saying, you've had your chance and you come up with absolutely nothing. Nothing.
A technician, John, drops his coffee cup and collapses to the floor in agony.
Don't touch him! Let me look.
Black lines spread quickly across the sick man's arms and face, tracing invisible pathways under the skin.
Here, Charlie, and you, what's your name, Ben, give us a hand to get him into the medical unit.
Try not to touch his skin.
Charlie and Ben carry the body out, leaving Hobson alone with the doctor and Polly. The doctor is thoughtful and looks worriedly around the table before his eyes alight on the sugar container. Hobson lifts his cup to take a sip.
Don't drink that!
The doctor knocks the cup from his hand.
It's the sugar! Don't you see? That's why the disease doesn't affect everyone. It's the sugar. Not everyone takes it. Oh, don't touch it.
Gingerly picking up the sugar container with a pair of forceps, the doctor leads them back to the medical unit.
What are you doing?
Just be patient.
After preparing a slide with a sample of the contaminated sugar mixed with a drop of water, the doctor moves to the microscope and peers intently through the eyepiece. It is immediately obvious to him what they are dealing with.
Just as I thought. A large neurotropic virus.
Like the space plague?
No. It's a large infective agent that only attacks the nerves. That's why the patients have got these lines on their faces and their hands. It follows the course of the nerves under the skin.
That's all very well, but how did he get in here?
Oh, here's the Cybermen. I believe they have deliberately infected the base.
My men have searched every square inch of the base. There's no space to hide a cat, let alone a Cyberman. Anyhow, how did they get in?
One moment.
What is it?
You say you searched all the base?
Yes. What of it?
Every nook and cranny?
Yes.
No chance of anyone hiding anywhere?
None whatever.
Did your men search in here?
Well...
Did they?
Well, there were always people in here, so they probably...
Did they search in here?
No.
But there's nowhere in here they could hide.
Warily, the doctor edges around the sick bay, checking each of the beds in turn. The others follow him. In the bed at the far end of the room, a pair of silver boots can be seen sticking out from under the covers. Wide-eyed, Polly realizes what this means.
Oh, no.
The doctor ushers the others back towards the door. The Cyberman swings to its feet, covering them with its cyber weapon.